Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Today, we enter day 11 of our initial 12-day period of ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. And keep in mind, we are still in the 33-day period of preparation. So we're just about to finish the first phase of the 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and I think one that you'll be able to relate to, the anxieties of the world. Let's face it, if we look at the world, there are a lot of people who are anxious about a lot of things. So in an effort to rid ourselves of the spirit of the world, one of the things we have to do is look at a realistic picture of what we face every day. And when we worry, and see, this is so countercultural. This is such an unusual message, but it really is true. When we worry, when we become overly concerned about what's going on in the world and in our own lives, we are not looking at things realistically. I know that's a crazy message, because that's not the message you're going to hear from most people in the world today. Most people will say, well, you should be worried. You should be panicked. No, you shouldn't, because we are members of the kingdom of God, and the Lord is all powerful. So why is it that we should worry? Should we worry because it's all up to us? No, because it's not all up to us. And that's one of the reasons we're going through this total consecration. And you have to understand, we've talked about this before, God wants you to do something. So if you can do something about your problems, about the situation in the world, by all means, do it. But the reason we worry is because we can't control the uncontrollable, right? Or we don't trust God, or we feel that he's going to let us suffer unnecessarily. But honestly, if we believe that the Lord loves us, and this is a process, this requires some work on our part. If we really believe that he loves us unconditionally, then we will understand that anything that he allows to happen in our life will somehow benefit us, right? Now that's a hard realization to come through. That's a hard thing to accept, and that's one of the reasons why this total consecration is beneficial. We need help to think this way. We need help to really believe this. And who better to help us than somebody who walked through many dark days, the Blessed Mother? If we look at her life, she had no guarantees. She didn't have all the answers, but she learned, because of her great faith, to ponder things in her heart, to look at the circumstances that were unfolding day by day in her life and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why is this happening? And how can I serve you? This is the mentality that guided the Blessed Mother, and this is the way we would like to be. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't worry, if we just put all of our faith in the Lord, realizing that he's in charge and he does know best? Well, you and I, we can't get there by ourselves. We can't just force our way to feel that, force ourselves to feel that way. But what we can do is ask for help, and that's exactly what we're doing with this total consecration preparation and the total consecration itself. We're asking for help. We're accepting the fact that we can't do this by ourselves. God wants you to be peaceful. 1 Corinthians 7:32 is very clear. The words written by St. Paul, but of course they're the inspired words of God. What did he say? I want you to be free from anxieties. What did Jesus say in John 14:1? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, if he wants this, obviously he does because he says it, then don't you think it must be possible? It is possible. But it's not possible by using the wisdom of the world or our own intellect. Because if we use our own intellect and we use our own reasoning and we completely exclude faith from the equation, what's going to happen? We're going to get freaked out by our problems and we are going to worry. The secret is to keep your eye on the Lord. And we're going to see this in a gospel passage that we'll read today. And while you are certainly, you know, you're certainly encouraged to be aware of what's going on, I'm not saying bury your head in the sand and don't face reality. You've got to know what's going on, because you need to be realistic. You need to know how you should vote. So we have to have an understanding of what's going on in the world, but at the same time, we better have an understanding of the Lord and his teaching. We've got to get to know the Lord, because that's what's going to drive us each day. We want to be driven by the Holy Spirit and not by what the world is telling us. The world's saying, go for pleasure, enjoy yourself. It's a scary place. Try to hoard as much money as you can. This is the message of the world. Believe in yourself? No. What did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. John 15:5. They're not my words. Look it up. But then you might say, well, wait a minute. I'm going to be a total failure. I'll never be able to accomplish anything. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. So we got to remember this. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. The point is, it's not all dependent upon us. That's where we get us into trouble. That's why we worry. And that's why we lose confidence in the Lord. Each day, you've got to become aware of his presence, his power, and his love. In some way, you've got to do that. I can't do it for you. The Pope can't do it for you. Jesus will not do it for you. He wants you to do it. And this is, we talked about this yesterday. We have talked about this a lot on this program. I talk about this a lot when I travel preaching the good news. Jesus Christ will not force his way into his life, into your life, and neither will the Blessed Mother, neither will the Holy Spirit. That's on you. Every day, you've got to turn to them and invite them to work in your life. You've got to fight against your fallen human nature, your desire for comfort, your fear of suffering, your fear of the unknown, your apathy. And I mean, I say you, I mean myself too. Every one of us are affected by this to some degree. We've got to overcome that. The Lord wants to work in your life. You don't have to worry. I earn my living as a full-time Catholic speaker. You probably know my story. And if you don't, please check it out, because it's very much on the internet. It's all in all my books. I have been struggling with anxiety from the time I was a small child. I am very peaceful now. That's not my doing. That's the doing of Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when you really get to know him on a personal level. And you finally give up. I fought this for so many years. I've finally given up. And I've learned to trust him. I do this each day, though. This is not something that you, it's a battle that will be over. You know, one day you'll just accept the fact that, okay, now I'm going to relax. I can trust the Lord. Each day, you're going to have that temptation. If you're an anxious person like I am, if you're a control freak like I am, if you like to be in charge like I do, if you think you know better than God like I sometimes do, this is a tendency that I have. And, you know, we're recognizing this. In this initial 12-day period, we're acknowledging, hey, we are influenced by the world. The world's going to tell us one message. Christ is telling us a different message. I got to deal with this somehow. So if you have these tendencies, as I do, I don't try to hide it. Each day, I've got to fight that battle. It is a winnable battle, but is only winnable one day at a time. I have a battle in front of me today. I can either worry, trust the message of the world, or I can trust the Lord. Decision is up to me. And this is why we need to have this personal friendship with Jesus Christ. That's the goal of total consecration. We're in this to grow closer to Christ. And the Blessed Mother will help us do that. But each day, we've got to make sure that we're talking to Jesus. And yes, even after we make total consecration, we can and should talk to Jesus every day. The Blessed Mother's goal is to help us to get closer to him. The Blessed Mother's goal is not to steal us for herself. So keep that in mind. It is a battle that you will fight every day. But it is a winnable battle as long as you stick close to the Lord. Now, while I'm at it, let's talk about some of the problems that may be arising with this total consecration. You will, if you haven't experienced it already, you're going to have these thoughts that maybe I'm not making enough progress. Maybe I'm not doing things right. maybe Gary doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe the world is right. Maybe I'm a sinner. Maybe, you know, so many things. You need to stay in touch with the Holy Spirit, and you need to remember something. The devil is going to try to get you to give up this preparation. He doesn't want you to do it because he doesn't want you to get closer to Jesus. So keep in mind, he's going to get in your head and plant all kinds of lies. Well, he's a liar, and you have to learn to ignore certain thoughts. Now, does that mean every negative thought in your mind comes from the devil? No, it doesn't. Because also, you and I have a fallen human nature. We've talked about a lot about this. We have a tendency to trust in ourselves, to trust in our ability. We have a tendency to follow our feelings, even in our spiritual life. So what's going to happen is you'll start to think, well, this isn't working. I don't feel anything. I don't feel any different. Guess what? Nobody said you have to feel different. You got to give this time. This is an incredibly powerful devotion. You have absolutely nothing to lose. Now, I said at the beginning, I'm not going to force you to do this, and I'm not. But I am going to encourage you because I care about you. I want you to grow closer to Christ. I want you to experience the peace that he has for you. So what do I have to do? I have to encourage you. I totally consecrated my life October the 7th, 2011, for the first time. When I look back to the way things were then, the anxiety, the fear, the lukewarmness, the general state of misery that I was in, and I look back, I look now to what my life is now after consecration, I would never, ever, ever want to go back to the way things were. Mary makes a huge difference in your life. And you're going to have people who will question, why do I need to get to know Mary? And again, it's the same old story. Look at how God used her. Look at her role. Look at what the church teaches about her. Whether people agree or not, she is important. And you're going to get some people who will disagree. You can't listen to what everybody says. Personally, I want to get to heaven. I want to be a saint. I'm a weak person. I need all the help I can get. And this is why I like Father Michael Gately's comments in 33 Days to Morning Glory. He talks about this frequently. He says the same thing. If St. Louis de Montfort, who is a saint, claims that this is the safest and easiest way to get to heaven, he's all in, and so am I. The church approves this devotion. Why wouldn't I take advantage of it? But you really have to do it for yourself to see the effectiveness of it. Okay, so that's my little pep talk for the day. I just don't want you to quit. And if you are thinking about quitting, if you're starting to get nervous, I always encourage you to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com and we could talk more about it. Because I want you to go through with this. Now again, once you get to the 34th day on October the 7th and you decide, nah, you know what? I don't want to make my total consecration. That's your choice. There's no sin involved. You're not a bad person. You're not doing anything wrong. But I just want to make sure that you understand that this is a great opportunity for you, and I don't want you to waste it. Okay, so please keep that in mind as we go forward. And even after you make your total consecration, you can always rescind it if you'd like by a simple act of the will. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. This wasn't right for me. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And there is, again, no sin there involved. You can always say this isn't right. I rescind my total consecration. But let's focus on the positive. Let's keep going forward. Remember, we haven't done anything yet. We're just removing ourselves from the spirit of the world. Okay? So with that in mind, let's begin with our prayer, the invocation of the Holy Spirit recommended by St. Louis de Montfort that we pray each day. We're asking the Holy Spirit to help us, because we don't want to go through this by ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Lord, send forth your Spirit, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, who instructs the hearts of your faithful with the light of your Holy Spirit, make us responsive to his inspirations, so that we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us responsive to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. What a great prayer. You know, don't rule out the Holy Spirit. Let him work in your life. So many times, you and I, we're trying to do all this on our own. Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Mary can get you closer to the Holy Spirit as well as getting you closer to Jesus. Learning to hear and respond to the Holy Spirit is critical in your life if you expect to make it to heaven and to have peace. Bottom line, that's the truth. So, with that in mind, let's take a look at a meditation from the book Consecration to Jesus Through Mary, Following the Plan of St. Louis de Montfort. This is The World's Anxieties. Now, let's listen to this. And I totally agree with this. We are faced with so many opportunities to worry. We can either focus on the negativity going on in the world and in our lives, or we can focus on the gospel message. The choice is really simple. So let's do that today. Our lives are filled with anxiety. In our modern world, nothing is stable. Highly trained people have no jobs. Marriages break up. Children grow up and disappoint their parents. No one can claim financial security. Sickness intrudes. Death comes to a spouse. Fears have so many causes. The Bible uses the word fear 454 times and afraid 103 times. Anxiety is a gigantic problem, even in Scripture. Now, let's pause here for a minute and let's accept this fact. Anxiety in life is a gigantic problem. No doubt about it. I speak a lot about this. You know that I've dealt with it. I still continue to deal with it. Anxiety is a huge problem. But it doesn't have to be that way. That's the important thing for you to remember. I don't want you to blow this off. I don't want you to say, well, Gary doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know my problems. Trust me. Anxiety doesn't have to be a huge problem in your life. You need to get to know Jesus. Now, does that mean you won't have a need for medication or therapy? No, it does not. The Lord heals in many ways. So if you are still unable to break free from anxiety, even after you get to know Christ and you're praying every day and you're doing whatever you can, yes, please, go seek help. It is okay to do that. But you still need this. You still need this personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order for you to make it to heaven. That's the goal of your life. It should be the goal of your life. Okay, let's look at sources of fear. We worry for two reasons. First, we have human needs that must be met every day. Secondly, we live on earth where everything could change. What was secure yesterday is not secure today. When Jesus walked on the water to help the apostles, he said, do not be afraid, it is I. Now, I want to turn to that for a minute. I want to read that gospel passage from Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. Then Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Now, right now, I want you to picture the problems in your life, whatever you're up against, that oftentimes that feeling of abandonment. You don't feel like Jesus is with you. Well, that's what's happening to the disciples. They're in this boat. It's in the middle of the night. We're about to read that it's in the fourth watch of the night. When is that? From 3 to 6 a.m. Those of you who are worriers, you know that that's prime worry time. 3 a.m., 4 a.m., you know what it's like to wake up then? And your mind starts spinning about all your problems. You start thinking, Lord Jesus, where the heck are you? I'm struggling here. I'm dying. My life is falling apart. Where are you? That's exactly what's happening in this story. The wind was against the disciples. They're struggling in the boat. You've got wind. You've got storms raging in your life right now. So you can very much relate to what these guys are feeling. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, again, 3 to 6 a.m., Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. Jesus is walking to them on the water. They think it's a ghost. They misinterpret who is in front of them. They panic, not realizing that Jesus is right with them. Guess who that is? You're right, that's us. We panic all the time because we don't recognize that Jesus is right with us. And what did they do? They cried out for fear. So it's okay to imitate them and to cry out to the Lord too, saying, "Lord, I'm afraid. I'm scared. What's going to happen? Please help me." And what happened when they cried out for fear? Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." Notice that he didn't say, "Take heart, all of your problems are going to go away. Take heart, the storm is going to be stilled." All he said was, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." That's the message from Jesus to you today. Take heart, it is I. Have no fear. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." So in other words, Peter is saying, "Lord, I'm not sure this is you." He's trying to discern. "But if it is you, Lord, tell me to come to you." And what happened then? Jesus said, "Come." You know, that's scary. Sometimes we ask the Lord, "Lord, please use me. You please use me to do whatever you need." And then the Lord will put you in a situation. You say, "Whoa, that's not what I wanted." But Peter, a fisherman, someone who knew that the world states that it's impossible to walk on water, right? That's the message of the world, obviously. It's physically impossible, based on all the laws of nature, to walk on water. And who would know that better than a fisherman? But Jesus called Peter. And what did Peter do? Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. He was able to walk on the water and came to Jesus. If the Lord's calling you to do something, if the Lord's calling you to go through an illness, if the Lord allowed you to lose your job, do you think he's really going to desert you? Never. He will never do that. Look at this story. This is an incredible story. If you keep your eyes focused on the Lord and you pray, you pray to discern his will for your life, which is what Peter is doing, and he tells you to do something, you can do it without worrying. What happened now? But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. That's what happens when we focus too much on our problems and listen to the world's message and ignore the Lord's message. We begin to sink. Is that the end of the story? No. Because Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." He prayed. He asked for help. And that's what you need to remember. If you're struggling with something, if you feel like your world's coming to an end right now, the Lord can help you. But you got to give him the chance. How do you do that? "Lord, save me. Please help me, Lord." You know, in other words, you have to ask for help. And what happened at that point? Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught Peter, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And again, that's one of those messages that you and I need to hear. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But he saved him. And that's the important thing. Don't let your problems get the best of you. Each day, remember those words, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord Jesus, I can't do this without you." Those words are important. Because if you want to let your life be a mess, Jesus will let you. He'll let you. Because he's not going to force you to turn to him and respond to his offer of friendship and unconditional love. He will not force you to do that. So if you want to ignore him, he'll let you do that. Why would you ignore him? Look at your life. Look at your lack of peace. Look at the fact, look at how you deal with the problems that you face. A lot of us have this tendency that if we're struggling with a problem, we just want to go out and buy something. I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to go to the bar and drink. Listen, I spent a lot of years doing that. I know that tendency. And what happens? The next morning you wake up, your problems are still there. You probably got more problems because you're not feeling good. It's okay to buy things. It's okay to have a drink sometimes. It's okay to treat yourself. But if that's all you're doing and you're not turning to Jesus every day and trying to increase your friendship with him, you've got a big problem in your life and you'll never experience complete peace. You'll only experience peace when you have no problems or while you're in the midst of running away from your problems or distracting yourself. But the peace that the Lord wants to give can coexist with even the most serious problems in life. That's a pretty powerful peace. And that's the kind of peace you and I really need. Now, continuing on with this story, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." One of the things that the Lord will do is test our faith. Why? Because when we step out in faith, when we turn to him, when we trust him, when we say, "Lord, save me," and he comes through, then our faith grows. We look and we say, "Wow, Jesus is real. He really can help me." That's important for you to remember. You need to ask the Lord to help you with your problems. You need to ask him to help you get through whatever it is you're facing. He will not always take the problem away. Why? Because he loves you. And sometimes that problem is good for you. How? It depends. You just have to remember that Jesus loves you. And he's not going to let something that is harmful happen to you. Now, can you not take advantage of the problem that he gives you or the situation that he puts in your path? Yeah, you can. Again, he's not going to force you. But if you accept his love, and realize that somehow, whatever you're facing can benefit you. That's a given. That's a blanket statement. I have no qualms about making that statement. And you accept it and say, "Lord, I don't even understand why this is happening, but I know you love me. I know that somehow some good can come out of this, so I'm going to trust you. Please, if there's something you're trying to teach me, please teach me. But in the meantime, I'm going to trust you because I know you love me and I love you too. And since I'm suffering, I'm also going to offer up my suffering because I know that you can use that and bring good out of my suffering." If you start thinking that way and acting like that way, you're going to be a lot more peaceful and you are going to grow closer to our Lord and your faith will increase. But what happens when you can't do that? Because many of us say, "I just can't do that. I'm too overwhelmed." Well, that's why Mary can help you. Because she did that. That's how she lived her life. So that's another benefit to total consecration. And remember, we're just now acknowledging we are influenced by the world. And I'm also trying to build up your desire for this total consecration. Aren't you sick of living in misery? Aren't you sick of not being peaceful? Aren't you sick of not trusting? Aren't you tired? I'm sure you are. It's time to let it go. Let go and let God, the old cliche, but there's a lot of truth to that. He wants to help you. He wants you to be at peace. Are you willing to let him? Let's close with this prayer, as we do each day. Jesus living in Mary, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus living in Mary, come and live in your servant. In the spirit of your holiness, in the fullness of your gifts, in the perfection of your ways, in the truth of your virtues, in the communion of your mysteries, subdue within me the power of flesh and demon by your Holy Spirit, for the glory of God the Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, we wrap up the 12-day period devoted to ridding ourselves of the spirit of the world. I'll do some summarizing. I'll talk a little bit more about anxiety, and we'll get ready to close out this first phase of total consecration preparation. After that, we'll move on to a week devoted to looking at ourselves. And that's going to be a lot of fun, so get ready for that. Thanks for tuning in. Any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.